It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
One, potentially, the biggest revolution since the fall of the Soviet Union. Two, recommendations and advice for the holidays. Three, when will Americans care about the World Cup? It's the Will Cain Podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to a new week. Welcome back from the holidays. Welcome back to the Will Cain Podcast. You want to hear a crock? Try this on for size. I got to get in shape. And I'm not just talking about, oh, it's a couple of days post Thanksgiving. I feel fat. I've been slipping, man. I've been slipping for, well, going on 2 months. I don't know. Something happened in early October. Something happened where slowly the workout faded away from 4 or 5 days a week to 2, 3 days a week, then 1 day a week. Now, at best, I'm doing a long, slow distance run once a week when I watch Better Call Saul on the treadmill. I'm telling you, man, the diet has gone in the toilet. Sugar? Yeah, I want sugar all the time. Nothing sounds better than a big old plateful of carbs. I can't walk through the grocery store without looking at those cheap donuts going, yes, please. And I'm a donut connoisseur, which means I should really only, with discerning taste, reach for the quality donut. But I'm such a donut addict and so out of shape that I want those crappy cake donuts with the glazed sugar that have been on there for a week. Man, I have fallen. I got to get my act together. I got to get back in shape. And I'm going to try. And I know it's the worst time in the world to try, you know, the period between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But I have to. I can't go any longer. I'm unhappy. I'm not sleeping well. I don't feel right. My mood's not right. I've got to get my act together. I'm going to, A, really start doing that long, slow distance. I like it. I did an hour on the treadmill this weekend while I did watch an episode of Better Call Saul. Really slow. And it was enjoyable. Didn't hate it. Got to keep that up. Got to take that to 3 to 4 times a week. Got to get back in the gym. Got to start CrossFitting. Not to say, oh, you know, I'm the CrossFit guy. It's just, look, I've never done another workout that I liked more. I've got buddies doing Orange Theory. I got buddies doing, I don't know, what else? I've just never found anything that I enjoy more and like the way it makes me feel and look more than CrossFit. So I got to get back to CrossFit Odyssey. And then I got to start eating right. I got to start making small, good, disciplined choices. I got to pass on that cake glazed donut. My wife's reading a book that's called something like Atomic Choices. And she's telling me, you don't have to like fix everything at once. Fix small habits one at a time and build upon it. I can't really. I've always been an all-in, all-out guy. You know, every career choice I've ever made, despite the fact I've talked with you about grinding out singles, has been, where's the fence? I got to know how far to hit the ball. I'm a strikeout or a home run guy. I got to be all-in. So, I don't know if you can do that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but I got to get my act together. I got to go all in. I got to get in shape. Hey, on today's podcast, we're going to talk about some serious news. We're also going to talk about the college football playoffs. It's that time. Who is going to be the 4 teams at the end of the season? And how much better would it be? How much better will it be when it's 12 teams at the end of the season? Let's talk about why I love soccer and most of you do not. Let's talk about the World Cup and when will America go all in on the world's most popular sport? When does America go all in on the World Cup? And I'm excited to talk to you with no paid endorsement about some recommendations that I have for the holidays. And I have some questions for you. I'd love some advice from you on some of my own habits of consumption. So stick around on this episode. Let's hang out. Story number one. One, the biggest revolution potentially since the fall of the Soviet Union. Protests are breaking out as we speak across China, Shanghai, provincial cities, student centers. People are taking to the streets in China, honking their horns, gathering in large crowds, protesting China's zero COVID lockdown policy. What starts as a protest against the suppression of lifestyle quickly can turn into a protest in support of freedom, which can metastasize into a protest against an authoritarian regime. Ask Muammar Gaddafi. China mysteriously, for going on 3 years, has adopted a zero COVID policy. The policy we saw adopted in places like New Zealand and Australia to much infamy. China from the beginning has imposed strict draconian lockdowns in an attempt to control the outbreak of COVID-19. It's folly on so many levels. We do know that this virus cannot be contained. You cannot accomplish zero COVID. What more, the severity of COVID, which has hovered around 99.8% survivability from its inception, has been improved, at least in the short term, by vaccination status, and really in no term by the suppression of freedom and the embrace of lockdown. It leads to the question of why is China doing what it is doing? Why is China locking down? Do they know something we don't know? There are several potential reasons why China has taken this approach. Number one, because they can. Because it is an authoritarian regime with no real check or balance on its power. And we saw here in the United States of America, and for that matter across the globe, the extent to which many tyrants would go just for the exercise of power. We saw Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago lock down that city, shut down small businesses while she went out to get her hair done. We saw Nancy Pelosi of the United States Congress embrace lockdown philosophies while going out to get also her hair done in San Francisco. We saw Mayor Eric Garcetti in Los Angeles fill skateboard pools with sand. We saw Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Canada not only lock down, but then force mandate vaccines on his entire population. We saw Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand absolutely learn how to and lean into and enjoy her rule by the iron fist. I mean, the lesson there is how many little mini tyrants are thirsting for authoritarian power. It really has to be one of the lessons of the last 2 years. Give someone a taste and they want a full bump. Give them a bump and they need the full Jones. These people want to rule over you. So why would China neglect to embrace a zero COVID policy if they can? Why would an authoritarian not be an authoritarian if they can? The only problem with that is that in the last 24 to 48 hours, it's led to the question of whether or not they can't. If suppression was just an act of ability, it's reaching its limits here with inability. Now, we may still meet a violent and horrific crackdown on the dissidents and freedom protesters in China. But suppression hasn't worked well to suppress for much longer than 3 years. In fact, that's reason number two. China is using COVID as an excuse to keep in check its population. Authoritarian government needs to keep its people in fear, needs to keep its people meek, needs to keep its people suppressed. What we're learning here, though, is that's backfiring, as it is really on any authoritarian power over time and over history. It's why every dictator is most afraid, not of the outside world, but of the people inside his own world, inside his own country. The biggest threat to power in the Soviet Union was inside the Soviet Union. It was the Game of Thrones to the power of the Soviet Union Communist Party, the jockeying between personalities and parties to make sure who is the one in control of the people, and then alternatively, keeping the people suppressed and in fear. The story is no different in China, where we just 2 or 3 weeks ago saw the former chairman of the Chinese Communist Party, Hu Jintao, frog marched out of their congressional meetings for this year. The biggest threat always comes internally and always comes from the people. But suppression, ultimately, and I guess the human spirit for freedom, ultimately, breaks through that authoritarian grip. That's what we saw in 2010, 2011, in the Arab Spring, in Libya, in Syria, in Egypt, as people sensing an opportunity for a better life, sensing the bright light, the small taste of freedom, could not be denied. And that's what perhaps we are beginning to see here in China. That's why this is of such consequence. It's a global superpower. If there's a loss of control from the Chinese Communist Party, you're talking about the biggest change, the biggest shift in power since the fall of the Soviet Union. But why has China risked the suppression? Why has China risked a zero COVID policy? There's a third potential reason. What do they know about COVID that we don't know? I think most honest people, which would mean people other than Dr. Anthony Fauci, would admit it is more than highly probable that COVID leaked from a lab in Wuhan, meaning it was a Frankenstein virus where those inside the know would know exactly the ramifications of what made its way out there into the public. Does China know something about COVID that we don't know? I mean, the Washington Post recently wrote that China's zero COVID policy lacked an essential ingredient, which is mass vaccination status. Of course, that's a joke as well. We know that vaccination does nothing to stop the spread of COVID. But hey, you know, you got to play your greatest hits, right, Washington Post? On that note, your lead singer, Taylor Lorenz, actually sang a different note and criticized your own column saying, "What are you talking about? Vaccinations don't stop the spread of COVID." Whoa, has Taylor Lorenz seen the light? No, no, no. She's only used it as an excuse to embrace her more stringent mini-authoritarian in saying, hey, China's on the right track when it comes to lockdowns. She's saying vaccinations can't save you, but perhaps lockdowns can. Taylor Renz, of course, of infamy, formerly of the New York Times, leader of cancel culture, doxxed after doxing libs of TikTok, cries on camera with MSNBC, perpetual victim. Now Taylor Renz, like all perpetual victims, seeks to be the victimizer, seeks to be the authoritarian. Lock them down. But it is worth asking, why? Why has China embraced zero COVID? Do they know something about long COVID that we do not know? Are they banking on some collapse of our workforce, some collapse of our economy, some potential ramifications? All-cause mortality across the globe is up. That means deaths are up. The funeral business is booming. Funeral business is up 15 to 20% this year. Normally, the funeral business is highly predictable and a slow growth model business, up 1, 2%, down 1%. The funeral business knows if you're down 1%, the following year, you're likely to be up 1%. Death on a mass scale is largely predictable. But after the aberration of 2020, deaths from COVID, deaths from despair, deaths from drug overdose, an odd thing has continued in 2022 where all-cause mortality deaths are still up 15 to 20%. Why? Alex Berenson offers up the potentiality. It's because of the mRNA vaccine and the damage it does to your heart. There are others who have suggested COVID itself runs such havoc on your internal organs that people die of other causes and then never know it's attributable to COVID. I don't know. All I know is people are dying in record numbers, and it makes me again wonder why China's adopted a zero COVID policy. What we have learned about COVID is when it comes to its origins, when it comes to its future, the story is not over. We don't know even what we don't know. It's why it's so important to press, for journalists to actually seek answers, not censor those who would be outside of the bubble. Dear God, we need people willing to consider all potential outcomes and causes of really the biggest story of the last 50 years. And I don't think that's an overstatement whatsoever. One could argue the biggest story since World War II. COVID, which disrupted the entire global economy, which we still have not fully felt the ramifications. Inflation skyrocketing, interest rates now rising, recession on the horizon, lockdowns for the better part of a year, small businesses crushed, personal depression and health destroyed, children's lives and education wiped out for almost 2 years. It might be worth asking why. It's worth revisiting. Was it worth it? It's worth projecting forward what will happen economically and in public health. And it's worth wondering, what does China know that we don't know? Why does China run the risk of shutting down its economy, its population, its potential for control? Every strongman authoritarian projects strength to the outside while hiding weakness on the inside. It's the nature of government. Government is the act of control. It is the act of control over those that are governed. Foreign powers are not governed. Foreigners are not governed. Citizens are governed by the government, and therefore the government must control the citizenry. That's not unique to China. That's every government. And that's why it was such a genius conception of the United States of America, where the government was put in control and not the governed. Checks and balances, federalism, state and federal government, rights that shall not be abridged to protect the governed. It's what the authoritarian fears. That whom he hopes to wield authority over. We might see the beginning of the limits of that power over time and force, just like we've seen so many times throughout history and so many times in the present. Look to Cuba, look to Venezuela, look to Iran, and now in the world's major superpower, potentially in China. If people have had enough, if people seek freedom in China, then everything in this globe, on this world, can change. Potentially the biggest revolution since the fall of the Soviet Union.
We're going to step aside here for a moment. Stay tuned.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Story number two. Some recommendations and my request for some advice. So we're entering the holiday season. Christmas is less now than a month away. I want to share with you some things, some products, some people that I love. And these are not paid advertisements. These are products that I've grown to love, some whom I know personally and some I do not. And I'm going to ask in exchange for these ideas that you give me an idea at the end of this segment. First, I want to give you four products that maybe you can give a gift to a man or a woman, a loved one, for this holiday season, for Christmas. First, a few weeks ago on Fox and Friends, dude walks in to the green room, athletic, warrior type. It didn't take me long to figure out the cut of this guy's jib. I said to him, "Hey, man, what's up?" He said, "Hey." And we started talking about his product. And in the course of our conversation, he said, "I was in the Navy." Okay, I got it. He cut it short, and it was clear what he meant by being in the Navy. "Oh, yeah, where were you stationed?" "Virginia Beach." I figured it was 50-50, Virginia Beach or Coronado. I picked up what he was putting down. He's an awesome dude. I've only met him once. His name is Bear Hanlon, and he has a company called Born Primitive out of Virginia Beach. But I wasn't just having a man crush that day on Fox and Friends. I did notice something else. He was wearing cowboy boots, and he had on a pair of jeans that in all heterosexuality looked really good with his cowboy boots. Now, look, I've been on a search for perfect jeans basically my entire life. I go through fits and phases, and we all do, right? Jeans are one of the most personal items that you own. And for years, I was a Levi's consumer. Just a couple episodes here ago on the Will Cain podcast, we talked to Jennifer Say, the former chief of marketing, president of marketing for the brand, for Levi's, for a good 10 years. I wore 517s from the age of, I'd say, I don't know, 20 to 30. Boot cut 517s. And then I discovered low rise 527s, boot cut, and I started wearing 527s, I'd say, for another 10 years. Somewhere along the lines, I fell out of favor, or Levi's fell out of favor with me. And for the past, I'd say, 5 years, I've been wearing Wrangler retrofit, slim cut, straight leg jeans. And I like them. I don't love them, but I like them. I noticed that Bear was wearing a pair of jeans that fit not too skinny, not too loose, not too bell-bottom, not too tight on the jean, on the boot. And I said to him, "Hey, man," because I've kind of worked up the confidence to say to another man, "Hey, can I ask you an odd question?" I think that's exactly the way I said it. "Hey, what kind of jeans are you wearing?" I know. But look, I had to know. And he goes, "Oh, these are mine. These are Born Primitive," which he was on Fox and Friends to promote. I said, "Awesome, really?" He said, "Yeah, they're stretch jeans," which I love stretch jeans. I have a couple of pairs of that now because they're super comfortable and I'm sitting on airplanes all the time and I don't want to wear sweatpants at all times. So I'm loving stretch jeans. And he said, "Yeah, they're stretch jeans and they work with boots. I don't know what size you wear and I don't either, but I just got a box of stuff from Born Primitive. I wanted a pair of black jeans. I don't yet have that in my arsenal. I wanted black jeans. He sent me black jeans. He sent me blue jeans. He sent me cut-off jean shorts. Yes, America. He sent me workout shorts. Born Primitive started making, what did he say? Is it deadlift pants? No, not deadlift. Snatching. That's what his company started with. Like, performance snatch pants. You know, when you do a snatch, you start from the floor and you pull it up and you kind of pop it off your pubic bone. Yes, to get it past your face, above your head. So you needed padding. So he started out with just workout shorts with padding, you know, in the pubic bone area. And then he graduated to t-shirts and sweatshirts, everything. And it's all athletic, good fit. And here's the thing. It's a veteran business. Look at this. I'm looking at their stuff. I'm looking at his challenge coin. Born Primitive, athlete-driven, patriot-inspired. Our freedom is worth defending. Man, this is the kind of company you want to support. So go check out Born Primitive. I'm excited to get on my jeans, try on these t-shirts, everything. Hopefully makes me look like I'm quote-unquote in the Navy. You know, Coronado or Virginia Beach. Check them out at bornprimitive.com. Okay, second, poncho shirts. Never met them. Love them. Love Western-style shirts. Wearing one right now. I've tried a couple different brands on this. I'm pretty dedicated to poncho at this point. I love poncho. You know, got the pearl snap, got the Western yoke on the collar. I got light denim, dark denim, black. I've got, in the summer, they have this light material that breathes, almost like fishing shirt material, but it's cut to look like a dress shirt with pearl snaps, of course. They make a slim fit. Because a lot of times when I buy these, you know, like performance dress shirts, fishing shirts, they come too boxy. I don't like that. I need a little more cut to the waist. I'm loving poncho. That's number two. Number three, Hari Mari flip-flops. Okay, boots. I just got a box in the mail. They're out of Dallas. Awesome business. Also supports veterans. Now, for years I did rainbow flip-flops. But I don't like when my feet get wet and then get dry and then they slide on the leather. You know what I'm talking about? It's like fingers on a chalkboard. I hate that. So Hari Mari's have leather, but it's a softer leather. And then it's got a good looking sole where it's like blue under the leather. They also sent my wife a pair of these, like, I don't know what you call them, like chukka boots. They're Odessa Midland is the name. Light leather with the stretch around, you know, the ankle. With the soles are so light. I love Hari Mari. Check them out at HariMari.com. And then finally, I'm the guy that I don't even understand umbrellas. Like, why do you, it's raining, you're going to get a little wet. But there are times when it's raining really hard and I'm super sad because I've gotten soaked. Also, now that I live in Texas, I'm noticing a lot of people in the summer using umbrellas to protect from the sun. I've bought the street umbrella. I've bought the golf umbrella. My buddy Rick Reichmuth at Fox News does weather on Fox and Friends Weekend, started his own company, Weatherman Umbrella. And all I'm going to tell you is this. It's the best umbrella I've ever owned. I mean, it's solid, solid, solid. You know what I mean? The wind's going to come. You're going to be all right. You're going to get American flag, Patriot, Folds of Honor. They donate to Folds of Honor, the charity that supports the children of Gold Star families. Military members who've lost their lives, leave their children behind, provide scholarships through Folds of Honor. Rick and Weatherman Umbrella support Folds of Honor. I'm telling you, best umbrella you'll ever own, every size, the pocket size, up to the golf size, the huge ones. Go get somebody for their stocking, for a gift, a Weatherman Umbrella. I'm telling you that. I am not sponsored. I've not been paid by any of those four companies. Those are just four things that I like. Weatherman Umbrellas, Hari Mari flip-flops and boots, poncho shirts, and Born Primitive athletic wear, including jeans. Now, I need some advice from you. I want a really good history podcast. Do you guys have any recommendations for me? I'm going to put this on my social media as well, because I also have an idea brewing in my head about podcasts, about content and history. I've tried a lot, and there are many that I like. I like the Martyr Made podcast. I've listened to Dan Carlin and like Dan Carlin. Hardcore history. But I haven't hit anything that's exactly in my sweet spot. I don't always want a 6-7 hour podcast on one given subject. I also want it to be interesting. It would be awesome if it's conversational and somewhat fun. I love history. But I haven't found the podcast. It's like my go-to history podcast, which makes me think, does there need to be a go-to history podcast? So help me out. What is your, for those of you that love history, what is your go-to podcast? What's the best one going out there? I want to pick it up. I want to try it out. I want to listen. At Will Cain on Twitter. You can hit us up in the comments on YouTube. Hell, send me an email. cwillcain@gmail.com. I want to know your favorite history podcast.
We're going to step aside here for a moment. Stay tuned.
All right. Story number three. The college football playoffs, and when will Americans start loving the World Cup? The college football playoffs are fairly cut and dried right now. Here are your four top teams before championship weekend. Georgia is number one, undefeated and facing LSU in the SEC championship game. Michigan should be number two after an absolute monumental dominating whooping of Ohio State. Michigan should be taking on Purdue in the Big Ten championship. TCU, undefeated and doubted throughout the entire season, will be taking on Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game. By the way, if TCU keeps winning at football, Texas is going to keep being inundated with Californians. I cannot tell you how many Californians I have met. It's a stunning number who are sending their kids to college, not just in Texas, but to TCU. It is a California expat school. TCU undefeated, should handle Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game. And number four, USC taking on Washington in the championship game for the Pac-12. Those are your no doubt about it top four teams in college football, because Clemson lost in an upset to South Carolina. Ohio State obviously lost in an absolute beatdown to Michigan. And Alabama is sitting there with two losses. It's really fascinating to ask what happens if one of those top four teams loses. The most suspect would be USC, who's sitting on one loss. Does Ohio State creep back in after getting beat like that by Michigan? They're on one loss. Do you drop back down to Alabama? Do they creep in after a two-loss season? Clemson can't get back in. Tennessee, you wouldn't think, could get back in. It's really down, in my mind, to Ohio State filling the gaps if any of these four lose. And the truth is, I think if the top three lose, they should remain in the playoffs. Unless TCU gets destroyed by Kansas State, right now ranked 12, when the rankings come out this week, will be ranked higher, TCU should stay. Ohio State shouldn't jump TCU. Michigan just beat Ohio State. They shouldn't drop, even if they take a loss. Georgia, even if they lose to LSU, sitting on one loss, they should go. These should be your four teams in the playoffs. If USC drops to two losses, maybe then, Ohio State gets another shot in the playoffs. It's a one-loss Ohio State against a two-loss USC. But for three of these teams, TCU, Michigan, and Georgia, your path should be clear. You're in the college football playoffs. All right, the United States tied England last week. It was an awesome 0-0 tie as far as 0-0 ties go in the World Cup. Here's my quick breakdown. This is what I want you to look for. First, watch Tyler Adams. He is America's central defensive midfielder. It's called the six in soccer. And he is dominating. But he's dominating in a way that I've grown to love soccer. And that's, look, I love soccer. And what I love about it is actually not the goal. And it's rarely even the assist. It's the pass before the assist. My second favorite player in soccer now is Spain's Sergio Busquets. He plays the same position as Tyler Adams. He's old now, but he's still good. And he'll make the most boring passes in the game, and you'll see him pointing. No, 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 to your other teammates. They'll pass it to him, and he'll pass it right back to him and point, no, it needs to go over there. I mean, look, 9 out of 10 athletes, if they receive a pass in any sport, like, oh, I get the ball now, time to play. Busquets understands it's an 11-man game. He's passing and conducting. He's literally the conductor of Spain, and he goes totally unnoticed. He's my second favorite player behind Belgium's Kevin De Bruyne. I absolutely love Busquets. Tyler Adams plays the same position for the United States, and he plays it differently than Busquets. He plays it with a level of aggression. He challenges every ball in the midfield. He's in every passing lane. He's just mucking it up for the other team right there in the middle. And then when one of his teammates make a mistake, which in my estimation, our back line, Walker Zimmerman has been suspect. Sergiño Dest, who's our right back, has been suspect. There's always Tyler Adams to drop back defensively and cover up their mistakes. He is our captain. He's our MVP. He's not at the front. You won't notice him up there very often, getting an assist, much less a goal. But he is the engine of the U.S. team, and he is special, Tyler Adams. Weston McKennie's been really good in the midfield. He plays for Juventus. And Tim Ream, center back on defense, has been really good. We need somebody to score goals. Of course, Christian Pulisic has been really good as well. But look for those guys when the U.S. takes on Iran tomorrow in a must-win game. Now, one of my producers, Patrick, he texted me this today. He talked about pride that other countries have in their national soccer teams. And he said, you know, we just don't have it. He doesn't feel it. He lives in Florida. And I'll admit, I live in Texas. But I'm in a soccer community because my boys play soccer. So I hear from my kids' soccer teams, dads. Sometimes they're at pubs watching games. Everybody's pumped up. But I understand if you're not in that world, you're not as passionate about the World Cup. And Patrick texted me. He said, when will America care more as a matter of pride like other countries in terms of their national identity? He asks, there were thousands of people in Argentina watching the game and erupting when Lionel Messi scored against Mexico. Saudi Arabia had a national holiday due to their upset before that against Argentina. He says, maybe I'm wrong because I'm not paying a ton of attention, but it's not the same here. There were some groups watching in Kansas City, other MLS heavy markets, but I haven't heard or seen anything where I live. We tied England, and it didn't seem that eventful to me, even though I know it was. What will it take to get the U.S. to that same level? Here's what it will take. I have an answer to that question. Win the World Cup. I know. No easy task. No small ask. Win the World Cup. The United States of America, Americans love winners. We love winners. There are several cultural barriers to Americans embracing soccer. I know this because I've made the full journey. I mocked soccer. I didn't understand a tie. I could not wrap my mind around accepting a 0-0 tie. It looked like chaos. There's not enough scoring. It seems like the ball bounces around until it's in one final chaotic position that someone's lucky enough to put their foot on and it goes into net. But I don't think any of those things. I love it. And I don't mean to be this guy because, look, I drink Coors Light. I don't drink, Carlsberg. I'm not a Europhile. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I'm a Texan. I'm American. I love football. But soccer now rivals basketball as my second favorite sport. Now look, if I'm being real, it's because I'm a father and my sons play soccer. And I'm fully invested in getting them better. I watch videos. I learn with them. It's really actually been one of the great treats of my life to learn a brand new sport through the eyes of my children. I'm learning about the history of Manchester City. I'm learning about the Queen's Park Rangers. I'm learning about Celtic. I'm learning about, Borussia Dortmund in Germany. I love it. It's like traveling across the globe without traveling. It's learning history, which I love history. And I get to watch sports first thing in the morning when I'm not hosting Fox and Friends. Soccer's always on at an odd time. It rarely competes with football. I get to watch it at 8 a.m. on a Saturday or Sunday. I get to watch it when it's Champions League at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. And I've come to love the parts of the sport that have nothing to do with scoring. Like, I love the passing, the organization. I love Sergio Busquets, and you would never know unless you were fully invested to appreciate the guy that touches a ball 50 times in a game and none, maybe one or two of the passes, are obviously great. And yet all of them are great. But Americans love a winner. By the way, Donald Trump knew that intuitively. We're going to win so much, we're going to be tired of winning. Americans love winning. When we win, if we could dominate, we would love soccer. It's just who we are. Now, it would never replace football. I mean, football owns a day. There's so many genius things about football, once a week being one of them, twice between college and pro. I guess three times between high school, college, and pro. It's a simulation of war. It's aggression. It's militaristic. It's bright colors. It's logo-oriented. I'm telling you, like NASCAR, all these things are benefits to football. But soccer could. I think it could. I don't know that it could replace the NBA as the second most popular sport. But with Major League Baseball waning, at least in terms of television, I do think soccer could pass the NHL and could pass Major League Baseball. There's nothing that different about us than the rest of the world. It's the number one sport in almost every country across the globe. We're not that different. We are different. We are exceptional. But we could love what they love. We just got to be good at it. America loves a winner. And then soccer, well, could be for everyone, like it is for me. Number two, behind football. That's when Americans will embrace the World Cup. All right, that's going to do it for me today here on the Will Cain Podcast. I mean it. That's no paid advertisement. Check out Born Primitive, Hari Mari, Poncho, and Weatherman Umbrellas. Tell me your favorite history podcast. I will truly appreciate it. And I will see you again later this week on the Will Cain Podcast. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.